Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse number 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now, I'm not going to go into all that tonight about what it means to be reprobate, but basically that just means God's done with you. He's turned you over, amen, and a conscience would be seared, and a person would have no, for lack of a better word, no inkling to know God or the things of God or to serve God. But he's talking to the church here at Corinth. And what I want to look at is the first part of the verse tonight where he said, examine yourselves. This is kind of going back to the subject that I was addressing on Sunday about doubt. And I know the majority of this crowd has experienced them. How many believes that those doubts can come back? And how many believes that because you've experienced it, that would make you better able to know how to pray for somebody else that's going through it. Amen. And so I want to address this tonight because I think as we go down through here, I think I got five things tonight, maybe six, maybe seven, I don't know. Seven, I guess. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. But I just want to go down through here. I believe if a person could go down through there tonight and just check these off. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. I believe it would go a long way. Now, let me say something in the onset tonight. The Bible didn't tell me to examine you. And the Bible didn't tell you to examine me. The Bible didn't tell you to examine the person behind you or beside you or in front of you. The Bible did say examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. And I love my wife, but I can't examine her tonight. I can't see inside of her tonight. But she can, and God can. Say amen right there. And God can take these things and help us to see them in our lives. And I believe if we're saved and by the grace of God and we have eternal life, I believe that we can see these things. Now listen, let me say this before I get started. These things that I'm going to talk about tonight, there's no doubt that many of us did not understand these things when we got saved. But we should now. Amen. You should be able to look back because I'm going to do a little bit of explaining. The first thing I want us to look for tonight and examine in ourselves, and I believe these things really take place in the life of every born-again believer. And the first thing we would look for tonight is conviction. Was there conviction of sin? Was there conviction of righteousness? Was there conviction of the judgment that is to come? And I just want to say tonight, I believe if a person has genuinely been saved, then they experience conviction. Some people describe it different ways. Some people say, man, I just felt like I was going to drop off into hell. Somebody else might say, well, I felt like my heart was going to beat plumb out of my chest. You know, there's different ways to experience it. But how many of us believe tonight that there is no coming to Christ apart from the drawing of the Holy Spirit? He must convict us. He must draw us. Amen. And I don't believe that. I'll just say this. I don't believe when the Holy Spirit convicts us that we're sitting there or standing there thinking, well, if I'm a sinner. How many knows what I just said? Amen. I mean, when he convicts us, we know because he throws the book at us. The Bible said if we offend in one point of the law, we're guilty of all. The Holy Ghost throws the book at us and pronounces us guilty before a holy God. One of the best ways I know to describe conviction, and listen, let's not compare ourselves with ourselves, but I believe conviction is a sinful individual coming in the presence of a holy God. And you could word it lots of ways. I've heard men of God say it was like God pulled the covers off of my life. Now that's a good way to describe it because I realized my sin was no longer hidden. That God knew all about me. But you know what blew my mind? He knew all about me and he loved me. He knew everything I had said, everything I had done, and still He loved me enough to come where I was and convict me of my sin. He came to me. That's what the songwriter said. Conviction. I believe tonight that that's what happened in Isaiah's life. It was not a conviction where Isaiah got saved, but you remember when Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, woe is me. I'm undone. How many remembers when you saw that you were undone? Undone without God or His Son. So there's the word conviction. There's lots of scripture references I could run on that. But there must be conviction. That's why I have a problem with somebody chewing bubble gum and grinning from ear to ear and repeating a prayer. Say amen. I'm telling you, I believe God will knock a chew out of you chewing gum. Amen. If He's dealing with your heart about going to hell without God and you needing to be saved, I believe you'd about choke on the chewing gum. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm not saying you have to weep to be saved. You don't. There's nowhere is that found in the Word of God. But I'll tell you this much right now. You do have to be convicted. The second thing that I see in the lesson tonight is contrition. Contrition. What is that? It's a broken and a contrite heart. In other words, when God convicts us, then we have an opportunity to respond to that. And I don't know about you, but I know this. There were times that God convicted me that I didn't get saved. How many's with me right there? I mean, He showed me that I was lost. He showed me that I was a sinner. But I wasn't broken over my sin. And I wasn't in a place where I wanted to, here's the word, repent. Turn from my sin. There was no contrition. Let me say this to you right now. Contrition is godly sorrow. How many realizes there's a sorrow of the world that worketh death? And godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation that needeth not to be repented of. That's over there in the book of Corinthians. In other words, when God convicts us and there's contrition on our part, we're sorry. And let me just say this. Some people are sorry that they got caught. That's not contrition. That's not repentance. Some people are sorry that their marriage is broke up or they're sorry that they lost their job or they're sorry that they got arrested or I ran into that all the time in the prison system. And you got to be careful to ask them. I would ask them many times, Brother Wayne, I said, listen, if they let you out of here today, would you want to go back and live like you lived before you came in here? Or do you want a change in your life? Amen. When a man says, I want a change in my life, I'm tired of living like that. That's a brokenness. That's a contrition. He's saying, I don't want to live in sin anymore. I believe with all of my heart when conviction comes, that as we examine ourselves, I remember it. I hope you do. Contrition, I remember it. I hope you do. And then the next word that I want to give you is the word confession. He said, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, here's what the Bible said. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There'll be a confession. It'll come out of our mouth. I'm not talking about what you necessarily prayed when you called on the Lord. Let me just give you something right here. Let me give you something. People aren't saved by praying. They're saved by believing. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to believe on Him in whom they have not heard? I've told people many times, how in the world, why would you stop and talk to somebody that you don't believe is listening, that you don't believe is there? In other words, we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do, there was conviction present, there was contrition present, but there was a confession of that. Amen. The Bible said, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. How many believes that? We're not ashamed of Him. Now, I'm not saying that down through our Christian experience, I can remember well. A man, he went by the name of Doc. His name wasn't Greg. That was his son's name. He went by the name of Doc. I don't even remember Doc's real name. But anyway, he and his wife got saved. They got saved out of the drug culture. I mean, the hippie culture. They had a son. And they had been saved about 6 months. I mean, they were just as hungry and just like sponges when they came to church. They wanted to soak it all up. And they went down there to Silver Dollar City. That was before Dollywood now. It was Silver Dollar City. And they went down there and got them a barbecue sandwich. And they got under this hut. They had been asking the blessing faithfully at home. They wouldn't even think about not asking the blessing at home. And they got their sandwich and they looked at one another like, what are we going to do? And they started eating. They started pigging out on that sandwich. What did God do? God just sent a family in to sit right in front of them. What did they do? They took hands, held hands, bowed their heads, and prayed to the God of heaven, asked Him to bless their sandwich. Doc come back to church and confessed that. He said, I told my wife, never again will we sit down anywhere, amen, without thanking God for our food. What I'm trying to say is, I'm not saying they're not saved because that one time they were ashamed, amen, or because they were backwards about asking the blessing. All of us, just like Brother Ralph was talking about that preacher, all of us have failed to mention him at times when we should have mentioned him. But I'm telling you, when we get saved by the grace of God, we're not ashamed of it, amen. We want to tell somebody about it. So there's conviction. Do you see that in the Bible? There's contrition, a godly sorrow. Examine yourself. You should be able to see that there. There's a confession. Believe in your heart. Confess with thy mouth. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. And then let me give you this. There's a conversion. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said in John chapter 3 that you must be born again. How many believes that this Bible teaches when a man gets genuinely saved, we examine ourselves, we should be able to see a change in our life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, listen, I know this is not popular, but if there's no change in an individual's life, I'm just going to tell you straight up, according to this book, there's no Christ in an individual's life. Because when Christ comes into an individual, I'm not saying that individual's perfect. All of us know that we can't be perfect down here. Amen. We can strive for it and we can want to live holy and we should live holy. But I tell you, we're going to fail. Amen. We're going to miss the mark. But I will tell you this, there'll be a change. There'll be a change in a person's life when they're born again. The Bible said, remember, how many knows that when Saul met Jesus, I know that was a miraculous event. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When you got saved, it was no less miraculous. If a teenager like Zach comes down here, it's no less miraculous. Amen? I'm telling you tonight, if it's a 12-year-old boy or a 65-year-old man, it doesn't matter if a man has never touched a drop of liquor, never smoked a cigarette, never cussed, never chewed, never ran with them. Who did? Amen. When they get saved, it's still a miracle of God. And there's a change. There's a change. There's a change in that individual's life. There's a conversion. I believe when Zacchaeus got saved, how many believes there was a change? There was a change. In the Bible, there's always a change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now listen, I see conviction in the Bible that's taught. I didn't understand that when I got saved. But I tell you what, I experienced it. Contrition. I didn't understand that, but I experienced it. Don't compare yourself with me. I'm looking at the Bible. Amen. Were you not sorry that you sinned against God? Were you not sorry that your sin was dragging you right off into the pit of hell? Amen. And then, was there not a confession? I know everybody's not the same, but I just couldn't wait. It's hard for me to preach without testifying a little bit. But when I knocked on the last door the night I got saved at 2 o'clock in the morning, you said, preacher, I don't understand why you were so excited. I don't either. But I was. Amen? I can remember telling some folks that I got saved and they rejoiced. I can tell other folks that I got saved and you could see automatically that it bothered them. It bothered them. It began to cause a stir in their heart. concerning their own relationship with God. But I'll say this tonight. I went back to work on Monday after I got saved and apologized to sinner men that I had witnessed to before I got saved. You say, "Preacher, you're crazy." No, I'm telling you, I apologized to them. I had given them gospel tracts. I had invited them to church, but I wasn't saved. I didn't apologize for the message. I didn't apologize for anything that I'd given them, but I apologized for saying that I was a saved man when I was not a saved man. I apologized for that. I went back to the former church where I used to go. I'm just telling you, there was a change. There was a change. And I can remember this. I mentioned this a little bit Sunday. Everything that I could make right, I wanted to make it right. It was just like Zacchaeus. He said, "If I've taken anything, I'll restore it fourfold." How many remembers that in the Bible? I mean, when you get saved, you just, everything that you can make right, there's some things we can't make right. We can make them right with God, but listen, if you've offended someone there in the grave, you can't make it right with them now. Amen? But if they're not in the grave and you've offended someone, you ought to try to make it right with them. Amen? I can remember, I'm going to confess something tonight. And listen, I'm telling you, there's a change. This was several years after I got saved. I was pastor in my first church. And there was a man that I hauled to the drunk tank over at the VA. Hauled him over there, I don't know how many times. I really cannot remember how many times. And that man, one time on the way over there, Brother Brian gave me a $100 bill to hold for him till he got out of the drunk tank. And I spent it. He said, "Now, preacher, you didn't have no business spending it." Yeah, that's what the Holy Ghost said too. But you know what my flesh was saying? If I give it back to him, he'll just spend it on that rot gut liquor and I'll be hauling him back over yonder. But I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost demanded of me, to carry him $100 and apologize to him. You say, "Preacher, I wouldn't confess that." If we had some more of that going on around the house of God, we might have revival. Amen. I'm telling you, when we do wrong as a child of God, how many knows he'll knock on that door? He'll want you to make it right. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, I didn't plan on preaching tonight. I'm just going to give you a couple little things right quick. But there's conviction when we get saved. There's contrition when we get saved. There's confession when we get saved. And there's conversion. There's a change when we get saved. The next thing I'm going to give you, it's kind of self-explanatory, but I believe it. There's a compassion when we get saved. Brother Rick, I could care less who went to hell before God saved me. Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, why'd you give them gospel tracts?" I'll tell you why. Because I was taught that was the right thing to do. Brother John, that goes along with them works you was talking about a while ago. Had a bunch of them. Amen. Brother John, tell him about a message God dealing with him. Some people's got many works and they're going to go to hell. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, brother. Go ahead and preach it or teach it anyway. Amen. But Jesus is going to reward some that just had a few. They were faithful over a few things. There's a lot of people in religion. They think that's going to get them in. I'm going to tell you something. Prayer breakfast is not going to get anybody in. Giving out flyers is not going to get anybody in. Teaching a Sunday school class is not going to get in. I'm talking about that individual. Amen. It might help somebody else to get in. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to be here Saturday morning hoping God's going to let me into heaven. I'm going to be here Saturday morning because, praise God, I done been let in. I'm one of His children. Amen. Now, the best way I know to illustrate that, some of you men met my dad. How miserable do you think I would be? Dad is 75 years old. He'll be 76 his birthday. How miserable do you think I would be tonight if I was still trying to perform and still trying to do enough good so that he would be my dad? I thank God. Listen. My brother-in-law was in the room the other day. Both of my brothers were in the room with Dad the other day. I thank God for that. Amen. But we weren't there so he would be our daddy. We was there because, praise God, he is our daddy. Amen. See, Brother Jimmy, you can't do anything to make Brother Jimmy become your daddy. He is your daddy. That's why you want to be by his side. That's why you want to please him. That's why you want to love him. Compassion. Compassion. I believe the fruit of the Spirit. How many believes when we get saved, we get the Spirit? Romans chapter 8 said this, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And when we get the Spirit, you get love, joy, peace. How many believes that? Amen. Inwardly, instantly. Outwardly, he's still working on every one of us. That's the difference in salvation. And a lot of people fight doubts because they're confused concerning salvation and sanctification. Salvation happens with a new birth. I am my Father's son because 54 years ago, a birth took place. I was born into the Vinoy family. But I am my Heavenly Father's son because 27 years ago, a spiritual birth took place. And He birthed me into His family. Now I do what I do, not in order that He might be my Father one of these days, but because He already is my Father. Bob, you have some conversations with me about conversations with your dad. You love your dad, and your dad loves you. I thank God that you're not having to perform to so that one day you'll get a dad that cares about you. A birth took care of that. A birth took care of that. And a birth takes care of our entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And so tonight, conviction, contrition, conversion, confession, compassion. I believe when we get saved, we'll love the Savior. I believe we'll love the saints. I believe we'll love the sinner. I believe we'll love the Scripture. Don't you? I believe that. For years, my grandfather, he got saved. My grandfather was a rough one. I mean a rough one. He knew what it was to hobo. Anybody know what a hobo is along the railroad tracks? I'm telling you. My grandfather told a story one night about being on the trestle. And this is kind of, it's amusing. Somebody needs to make a movie about it. But they didn't have the trestle. It wasn't wide enough for you in the train, too. And him and his buddy got caught. And the train, it was pitch black dark. And here comes the train. And my grandfather said, they already knew how to do it. He said they just jumped over the side and just hung on to that cross tie until that train got by. And he said they hung on and they hung on and they hung on. And that train, on down the track. Said they finally hung on. He said his buddy said, John, I can't hang on no longer. He said, I can't hang on much longer. As my grandfather. My grandfather turned loose. He said his feet wasn't that high off the bank. Grabbed a big rock, Brother Rick, and gave it a pitch. Said, oh, that rock splashed in the river while his buddy's still hanging there. You see why I'm so mean now, don't you? Amen. I come by it honestly. Amen. After a little while, he turned loose and he said, John Vinoy, if I find you, I'll kill you. Amen. I like it. I'm going to tell you something right now. When my grandfather got saved, you say, how could he love the Scripture? He couldn't even read. I'll tell you how. Brother Jeff, he sat down at the kitchen table day after day after day. And had my grandmother to read the Bible to him. I'm telling you, there's no excuse. We've got tapes in this generation, CDs in this generation. There's no excuse for not getting the Word of God into our heart. And I believe when God called my grandfather to preach, Brother Gale, he couldn't read. And he was out behind the corn crib. You might not believe what I'm going to say, but I believe if you believe God, you will. He said, God, I'll preach, but you're going to have to help me to read. And he come back from the corn crib reading. He say, preacher, I don't understand that. There are other preachers in this world that's got that testimony. I'm telling you, if God calls you, he'll qualify you to do whatever he calls you to do. I used to be a teenager, make fun of my grandfather. I thought he couldn't read when he would talk about Noe. You read that New Testament. Noe's in there. I thought he's ignorant. He don't even know who Noah is. And then one day, hallelujah, God saved me and let me read the Bible. Amen. Find out who the ignorant one really was. It was me. Amen. Noah is called Noe. He talked about Jeremy, the prophet. And I thought, well, he don't even know who Jeremiah is. Read that New Testament. Amen. It's right there in the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, when God saves you, He'll put a compassion in your heart for the sinner, for the Savior, for the saints, and for the Scripture. I don't know about you. I believe I do. It shows on you. But they don't nobody have to drag me to this church on Sunday. I kid Brother Gary and Sister Lois. I tell them I wish they'd get here early once in a while. Somebody ought to just give them the keys to the place. Amen. They say somebody a lot of trouble. They can unlock it. Amen. They get here about 30 minutes early. Amen. Every day. Ain't that right, brother? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we have Jesus in our heart, I don't believe we have to be drugged to the house of God. I believe we look forward to it, don't you? I really do. Let me give you two more things right quick. Say, preacher, if we examine ourselves, what should we see? We should see conviction. We should see contrition. We should see confession. We should see a conversion, a change. We should see compassion. But here's something else we should see. How many in this room have been saved more than a year? All right, more than 5 years. All right, more than 10 years. All right, more than 20 years. More than 30 years. More than 40. More than 50. 50. Well, this is the old section over here. How many have been saved more than 60 years? Anybody? Brother Gale? Brother Gale's got it. Amen. Right there he goes. Amen. Think about this next thing, Brother Gale, and tell me. 74 years. Think about this next thing, and let me ask you if I ain't telling it right. If a person examines themselves, they'll see chastisement in their life. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I don't either. But He loves us. Amen. Way too much to let us have our own way and do our own thing. I believe whom the Lord loves, He chastens. I didn't want to use the word Sunday in here, but the Bible said we had children in here. If we're without chastisement, then are we bastards and not sons. That's the Word of God. It means we're illegitimate. We've never been born into the family of God. If we can do what somebody said, well, y'all preach that gospel. You can do whatever you want to and still go to heaven. Yeah, we do. But I'm going to tell you what we also preach. You want to change when He saves you. Say amen. And if you do whatever you want to and it's not according to His will, He can and will chasten us. Chasten us. Chasten us. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe sometimes that's exactly. Brother Mays used to say his daddy would whip him and say, this is hurting me worse than it is you. Brother Mays say, somebody's got their signals mixed up. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you love your children, Brother Ralph, did you ever have to spank Anthony? Oh, Lord. No, that's what he said, brother. Amen. Brother Ralph, I'm asking a personal question now. Are you like me and sometimes you did it for the wrong reason? Maybe sometimes you did it with some anger. Sometimes with some embarrassment. That boy embarrassed you. I'm going to tell you something about our Father's chastisement. It's always just right, Brother Wayne. Amen. He's not. Listen, He knows just exactly how to apply it, don't He? Amen. And it ain't because He's embarrassed. It's because He loves us. That's the only reason. And the last thing tonight, and I'll give you this. If we're a child of God, we've experienced this. And that's cleansing. See, we don't just experience chastisement and that's the end of it. No, the chastisement brings us back to our Father, where we can confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to, what's the word? Cleanse us. Forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you. Listen to me carefully right here. If it was possible to be saved more than one time, I'd like to be first in line tonight. It was so good the first time. I mean, if I could go... I mean that. I'm just serious as I can be. Amen. It was 2 weeks before I knew my feet was on the ground. Don't compare yourself with me. But I'm just telling you tonight in testimony, if I could experience that again, I haven't experienced that again. But I tell you what I have experienced, a broken heart again and cleansing because a son got wayward. I didn't need to be made a son again. I was already a son. But I was experiencing the chastening hand of God. God don't chasten us. A parent that's worth their salt. I mean, Brother Brown, I think about, I listen to Sunday school and always blesses me. With Jesse Maggie and Luis and driving lessons. I think this will be a good time to turn our license in. Amen. Let them teenagers have the road for a while. Amen. But I know you don't spank them youngins the first time. You're going to speak to them and try to teach them. And there's nothing wrong with speaking again. But now, according to my daddy, there was something wrong with speaking the third time. Amen. Daddy didn't know how to speak the third time. Actually, Daddy didn't know how to speak the second time. And you knew when Daddy said it the first time, just go ahead and line up. Amen. Because we feared him. And I believe there needs to be a reverence for the God of heaven, for our Father who art in heaven. And we can escape that chastening if we'll just walk with him. When we go our own way, get off the path that's not lit by the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have you ever just stopped? I'm trying to quit. I don't know what time it is. Oh, my goodness. I got started late, though. I'm going to quit. But have you ever stopped to think about that year from the time that David committed adultery until Nathan stood toe-to-toe with him? Have you ever thought about his life for that year? How many knows there was no joy? That's why he was begging God in Psalm 51 for his joy back. There was no joy. His joy was gone. He didn't have fellowship with God. And this is just me personally. I won't be dogmatic about this. But I believe David was almost relieved when Nathan said, "Thou art the man." You say, "Preacher, why do you believe that?" Well, he could have had him killed too. And just kept on trying to cover it up. How many's ever tried to cover something up besides me? Anybody? Brother Long, he showed me something years ago, and I may have showed you this here. See if my handkerchief's up here. It is. If this cup represents my sin, he said he held a microphone up. I remember when he did it. I'm giving him credit for it because I can remember who did it. Lots of things I can't remember, but I'll never forget this. Brother Long said, if this is my sin, he said, God's word teaches that if I cover it, he will uncover it. How many believe that's taught in the book of Proverbs? Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever forsaketh, confesseth, and forsaketh his sin, the same shall have mercy. I don't know the address exactly, but it's in Proverbs. Now, he said this. He said, if I cover my sin, he said, God will uncover it. But he said, if I will uncover it, God will cover it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the best end of that deal. Say amen right there. Just uncover it before God. And I'm just saying, if we're a child of God, surely, surely, we've experienced some cleansing along the way. We've got to think in some way we shouldn't be thinking. Got to look in some way we shouldn't be looking. Help me, men. Got to going somewhere we shouldn't be going or saying something we shouldn't be saying. And even children of God, let me say this. God help us to get so sensitive that we won't even listen to something we shouldn't be listening to. That's not always rock music I'm talking about right there. Amen? Amen? I'm just glad you come tonight. Examine yourself. examine yourself. I'm going to say this tonight because I can say this. I'm not going to use the other illustration. But ladies know that they're taught to examine themselves physically. The doctor told my dad the other day, Brother Eddie. He said, now, John, he said, I want you to keep a check right here in your jaws. He said, right now it's good and soft. He said, that's the way it's supposed to be. He said, just keep a check. Just once in a while, just reach up there and make sure it's good and soft. Then he put his hand down under here. And he said, down under here, while the doctor was doing it, he was talking to Dad. He said, now, John, I want you to keep a check. How many knows why? See, if this in here begins to firm up and kind of get hard, now let me ask you something. Did the doctor tell Daddy that because he didn't care about him or because he did care about him? I hope that when our Lord tells us to examine ourselves, and He put this in preacher's heart for tonight, that we would all know it's not because we don't care. He don't care. It's because He does. He does. Sometime or another, if we can find that song, Brother Ralph, let's sing that song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful song? Brother Frankie was bragging on his wife, Sister Amber. He's being gone a lot now with his job. And he said, preacher, you won't believe how she's growing spiritually. He said, I'm all she had. And now she's leaning on the Lord. And I told Brother Frankie, I said, look up that song, the lyrics to it, Learning to Lean. And I said, give that to Sister Amber from Pastor. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? Learning to Lean. Can I say this? Some of us have been saved, how many years, Brother? 74 years. You still learning to lean.
I find out every day more that I don't know than what I do.
More that I don't know than what I do. How many still learning to lean? Learning to lean on Jesus. Thank you for staying with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this prayer meeting. God, I pray tonight that someone, Lord, may be facing doubts tonight. Maybe someone will face doubts next week or next month or next year. Would be able to go back to this lesson or this message and just go down through the list and say, I remember, I remember, I remember. I remember the conviction. I remember the broken heart, the contrition. I remember how all of a sudden I wasn't ashamed anymore to be called a Christian, to say that I knew Jesus. I remember the change that took place in my life. I remember the compassion that you put in my heart. I pray, Father, we look back and see that chastisement, see that cleansing. We'd be able to just tell the devil to get another ride. Be able to say, I'm saved. By the grace of God, I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen.